Welcome to the full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 12:54 p.m. and that is Pacific Summer Time, and it's a particularly balmy day in Los Angeles. Well, when we look at what are the most important things that have happened in markets today, certainly oil's break out to new highs is a significant event, particularly because it has done so in a very dynamic manner. In fact, if we go back and look at the history of the last year, we would be hard put to find another day where it rallied by $2.50. And despite the fact that it is only very slightly off the highs, this is a very significant upward move. Well, what are the reasons behind it? I have repeated ad nauseum that I think that $70 is a bit of a psychological level for oil because so much additional supply becomes economic at these levels. But against that background, OPEC has been reducing supply. Then Venezuela is imploding, and there is the prospect of sanctions against Iran. And then you have a deteriorating relationship with Russia. So these factors are contributing to a somewhat of a supply inelasticity event for oil prices. And then there is the additional fact that when we look at the futures curve, well, the fact that it is going from top left to bottom right is suggestive of the fact that oil prices are in backwardation between now and at least 2023. That's I think a graphic illustration of the fact that we have a supply inelastic environment, at least for the near term. Now, if we look at this on a weekly basis, we can see that oil prices, and I should go to the continuation chart, we can see that oil prices found support around $60 and it completed a reversion to the mean. That represented an inconsistency, and it has led to a somewhat larger and more a lengthier period of consolidation, but it did find support in the region of the upper side of the underlying trading range, and now we are it appears to be on the cusp of extending a breakout to new recovery highs. Saudi Arabia would appear to be targeting $80, and they're hoping for prices to be somewhat higher next year, at which point they will probably give the go-ahead for their IPO of Aramco. That event is likely to be singular in nature, and it will probably represent at least a medium-term peak for oil prices when it eventually does, in fact, go ahead. In the meantime, Saudi Arabia has got a significant incentive to try and get the price as high as possible to improve the valuation of their asset. So this continues to look like a... And if we simply put aside all of the other arguments and look at the chart pattern, it looks bullish. Now, there is an additional point, and that is that if oil prices surge higher, and when we look at the condition here, then there is certainly the potential that we could get to $80 in pretty short order. Let's say, for example, that prices don't stop there and then surge higher, and that we get prices back above $100, well, that will represent a significant headwind to the global economy. Surging oil prices are a contributory factor to recessions, so this is a particularly important market to keep an eye on. Then when we look at Wall Street, well, it was taking its cue from the conciliatory tone that Xi Jinping cast in here today. China doesn't want to have a trade war. And it is going to be willing to negotiate, and we found out today what they're willing to give up. What they are not willing to give up is their support for their domestic technology champions, for good reason. They are involved in an historically massive campaign of pacification of the domestic population. Obviously there is no free speech in China, but the right to associate is also now being curtailed. So that is something that facial recognition and artificial intelligence monitoring of people's whereabouts via their phones and via their social media profiles is all going to be part of the environment in China. But from the perspective of Wall Street, nobody really cares about what exactly is going on internally in China, provided we do not have a trade war. And when we look at the chart over the course of the last few years, then it was overextended and it had accelerated to the peak in late January. It pulled back in a violent manner. It pulled back again in the last few weeks. It has paused in the region of the trend mean, and now we are getting a bounce. It is going to have to break above the levels that we saw in the middle of March. So 2800 is the most recent high for the S&P 500, and it is going to have to sustain and move above that level to begin to confirm that we've seen more than short-term support being found. So far, we can probably give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. In the course of a medium-term bull market, generally speaking, reversions to the mean can be considered buying opportunities, so there will be people who will be looking at this as a buying opportunity. But we have had a significant loss of trend consistency, and what that therefore also I think necessitates is a somewhat more diligent approach in terms of stops. That when we have a loss of consistency, and now we have a test of the 2500 point level on two separate occasions, well, I think a lot of people are going to be looking at that 2500 point level as a bit of a Rubicon. So I think people are going to be willing to give the benefit of the doubt to additional ranging, because that is generally what you get after a massive reaction against the prevailing trend. And then people will probably say, well, they'll wait and see what happens next. But 2500 points on the S&P 500 is now probably a pretty significant level. And I think that the best case scenario is that the market is going to be confined to a range in much the same way that it was back between 2014 and early 2016. And that was the most recent medium-term correction, which in that case lasted for almost 18 months. And so far, we're only about 2.5 months into this one. So we probably have a number of months at the minimum ahead of us in terms of ranging, but we are pretty much at the lower side of the range right now. And the Nasdaq 100 is also firming from the region of the trend mean. It failed to sustain the move above 7,000, but this is a higher reaction low. It has bounced from the region of the trend mean rather impressively now on two separate occasions. And Facebook, which has experienced some of the most acute loss of uptrend consistency, was in positive territory in here today. It's pushing back up towards the region of the trend mean, and the big question is whether it is going to be able to sustain a move back above it. Tesla was also in positive territory in here today. It was up almost $15 and back above the psychological $300 level. Again, the big question for a lot of investors is going to be the extent to which it can sustain a move above $300 and back above the trend mean as well. This was a substantial breakdown. And of course, people will be looking at the most recent of those breakdowns, which was back in early 2016. It also broke down in a very dramatic manner, but was able to recoup the decline and spent most of the rest of the year ranging before eventually breaking up. And I think that is perhaps the best scenario that we might envisage for Tesla. The worst, of course, is that it fails and pushes back below the $250 area in a dramatic fashion. When we look around the world, the fact that some of the pressures coming off of trade war rhetoric is broadly positive for stock markets, and it was a broadly positive day on European stocks as well. So, for example, the FTSE 100 was up about 1%, and it has bounced from the region of 7,000. It is now pressuring the downward bias evident since that peak back in early January, and if it can sustain a move back above the trend mean, well, then that will begin to start to repair some of the loss of confidence that people have found in the stock market. The AIM 100, which has been a clear leader throughout the period following the Brexit excuse me, the Brexit vote, has bounced from the region of the trend mean as well. There has been a loss of momentum. in the region of that 5500 level. 5500 for this index is back in the region of the level where it traded before the credit crisis. So this is a rather rarefied territory relative to a very lengthy period of underperformance all the way from 2010 onwards. But as long as it is holding the region of the trend mean, we can probably give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. Then when we look at Europe, well, the Euro Stoxx index is now pressuring the region of the trend mean again. And certainly there have been some acute bouts of volatility over the last 2 months. The big question is whether it is going to be able to break this progression of lower rally highs. It has been up and it has been falling faster than it has been rising, but this has been one of the faster rises. Now, the question is whether it is going to be able to sustain this move, and it remains an open question. But if it can sustain a move back above the trend mean, well, then that will certainly begin to take some of the pressure off. But again, it does have more work to do, and certainly we've had a greater loss of consistency in Europe. There are more questions outstanding about Europe in particular than other places. It's where the greatest risk of populism is. It's where you have this cognitive dissonance between the needs of individual states and the bureaucratic power of the supranational institutions within the group, and which is to be given greater priority. And that it has, I think, is going to be something that they're going to have to figure out at some stage before we can really see some of the big questions that Europe has facing it to be resolved. Then, when we look at Asia, well, the Indian market has bounced from this 10,000 level. It was in additional positive territory in here today, and it is now a little bit overbought in the very short term. It is pressuring the progression of lower rally highs since the end of January. We're probably due a little bit of consolidation, but as long as it is holding that big psychological 10,000 level, there's probably not a lot to worry about. What is significant is that the banking sector has pushed back above the trend mean, and the return to performance of the banks is a rather significant fact, considering that they have been such a lead indicator for the Indian market for the over the course of the last decade, really. Then, with oil prices firming, gold has also been rather firm. It continues to look like a very orderly consolidation in the region of the upper side of the 5-year base, and I think that the balance of probabilities is that gold is going to break on the upside. I think that looks to be one of the more logical conclusions from this particular type of charting activity, where you have a clear saucering characteristic, and then you have the progression of higher reaction lows since early 2016, where you had the massive reaction against the prevailing trend. It's given way to this period of right-hand extension, and that period of right-hand extension would generally be concluded with an upward break. The fact that gold has been off the radar for such a long time is probably rather good news. And the gold shares are, I don't think it's much of an exaggeration to describe them as underowned. They have been in a very tight range for more than a year already. They're at the lower side of that range, and they're not exhibiting any, I guess, leverage to the gold price right now. But if gold starts to break upwards, then they do have high beta characteristics, and they have the potential to rally in a dynamic manner, considering that, for example, back in 2016, the index went from a low of 12 to a peak of over 30. That was a very significant advance, and there is the I think the real possibility that this could double in the event that we see gold prices breaking out. So it is a sector that is worth monitoring, and and particularly with gold prices doing better. There were a lot of news stories yesterday about Russia and sanctions and aluminium, But palladium is also a major export from Russia, and Russia is the primary producer of the metal. It has been pulling back in a rather dynamic manner over the last couple of months, but it is now strung together 2 days on the upside. This isn't the first time within this downtrend since January that it has been able to do this. It was able to rally for a couple of weeks in February as well. The more important point is that it's going to have to break the downward bias and push back above the $1,000 level to confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. And platinum is also rather depressed. It's back towards the lower side of its range. Unfortunately for platinum, it has the overhang that people just don't want to buy diesel cars very much anymore, and that because its use in catalytic converters for diesel vehicles is the primary use of the metal, then it is very much confined to this range. But again, if gold breaks out, then there, platinum has the potential to rally in a dynamic manner, considering that there's already such a wide spread between gold prices and platinum. One could argue that for based purely on the price variation, that one could have a piece of jewelry that looked exactly the same as gold, and it would be cheaper in terms of size for if you bought it in platinum. And that's despite the fact that platinum is 11% more dense than gold. And that is a condition that we have not seen for as much history as I can find. So this is a very significant discount to gold that we're seeing on the platinum market. And silver is also in a rangy environment overall. But what we can also see very clearly with silver is that the volatility has collapsed over the course of the last 2 months. And this is not a normal set of circumstances. Silver is not an inert trading vehicle. In fact, part of the reason that people trade silver is because it's volatile. And David has often described it as high beta gold. Well, the fact that gold is at the upper side of its base formation and that silver has been inert for months already suggests that this very tight range on silver is likely to be resolved on the upside and probably in a dynamic manner. Now, when we look at what's going on in China, well, then the A-share index was in positive territory in here. It's certainly taking its cue from Xi Jinping, and I better type it incorrectly, but the banks index has also begun to firm from around that 14,000 level. It pulled back very sharply from the peaks that we saw in January, but now it's back in the region of the trend mean, and it is beginning to demonstrate some support is coming back in. So I think that there is tentative signs that we're seeing support starting to come back, and certainly the rhetoric around trade wars is something that can continue to derail the confidence that people have in the stock market. But we are right in the region of the trend mean for a significant number of markets, and they really would need to be sustaining moves below their trend means and in a dynamic manner, most particularly if they were encountering resistance in the region of their respective trend means. That would be a source of particular concern. But against all of that, the leading indicators for recessions are not flashing red, and we are not seeing, as of yet, oil prices surging higher. So, and we still have the fact that corporate profits are coming in rather impressively. So, against all of that, this remains a medium-term correction within the context of a broadly bullish environment overall. And what that would suggest is that bargain hunters are probably going to start coming back in. And I think with that, I will leave it for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.